Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio no longer pursuing a possible presidential bid next year, with her father seeking the vice presidency. Meanwhile, the PDP Laban faction of Energy Secretary Alfonso Cusi asserts the legality of Wednesday's national convention will tackle the infighting in the country's ruling party with former COMELEC Commissioner Attorney Louis Tito Guia. Senator Pancho Lacson reveals a possible new Senate witness could unmask those behind government's allegedly anomalous pandemic deals. And at least seven are dead due to Typhoon Julina. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Joining us, for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Our top story at this hour, President Duterte's daughter, Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio, no longer seeking the vice, make that the presidency next year, now that her father is running for vice president. Our correspondent RG Cruz now joins us with a full story. RG, what else can you tell us?
Yes, Carmina, earlier today, Mayor Duterte Carpio did indulge some of my questions regarding the PDP Laban convention yesterday. And it was in one of those questions where she said twice that she's no longer running for president. First, I asked her, with the president firming up his plans for vice president, how does it affect your own plans for 2022? She said, it does not affect any of my plans, but as we both agreed, only one from the family will run for a national position. Then I asked her again to clarify with regards to that question, can you categorically say you're no longer running for president because of the president's declaration? She said, yes, I am not running for a national position. As we both agreed, only one of us will run for a national position in 2022. In the same Q&A, Carmina, Mayor Duterte Carpio already thanked her supporters. She said that she's happy. Yes, I am happy. We are united in our desire to see a better Philippines in the future. I will be eternally thankful for your trust and confidence. As you remember, Carmina, months ago, as many as seven parties already declared their support for Mayor Duterte Carpio should she run for president. These are the Lakas CMB, the Puwersa ng Masa Filipino, the People's Reform Party, the National Unity Party, the Laban ng Demokratikong Pilipino, the Partido Federal ng Pilipinas, and Mayor Duterte Carpio's own regional party, the Hugpong ng Pagbabago. For those of you who may not know, Mayor Duterte Carpio is actually eligible for one more term as Davao City's chief executive in 2022. She has been a persistent leader, though, in the presidential pre-election surveys. The Commission on Elections, of course, will be starting to accept the certificates of candidacy for all positions for the 2022 elections by October 1 to 8, which is about 3 to 4 weeks from now. Mayor Duterte Carpio is not a member of any national party, making her ineligible for the remedy of substitution. The last day of substitution of candidates, I think, is November 15, but substitutes must be party mates under the law. Mayor Duterte Carpio has already and consistently denied she will resort to any similar ploys as her father did in 2015, when he initially demurred a run for the presidency only to substitute party mate Martin Dino at the last minute. Carmina?
All right, couple of things. RG, first, was that decision of Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio one that was born out of conviction, or was she just forced to make that decision because of the condition set previously?
That is a good follow-up question that we will ask Mayor Duterte in the future. But for now, her statement stands that she is not running because they already have an agreement, she and her father, that only one of them for a national position will run for a national position.
And do we know if they had talked about this prior to the announcement of, or at least prior to her sharing her decision with you, RG?
Again, that's a good question that we will ask her in another opportunity. But from what I know, their last conversation was when she issued that statement a few weeks ago, where she shared that she was given two letters by her father, one asking her to support their tandem, the Go-Duterte tandem, and another possibly supporting or taking in Senator Bongo as her vice president should she run for president. I will have to ask her if we had any further meetings or conversations after that.
RG, we got an advanced copy, or we got a copy of the transcript of your interview with the mayor. And there was one point when you actually asked her, will she help the PDP Laban, the way the HNP helped in 2019? Very interesting answer she had there. Can you share that with us?
Yes, she said, no, I will not share my light this time. So in effect, she's saying she's not going to be campaigning for them for the Go Duterte tandem and the PDP Laban tandem in the 2022 elections. Let's rewind a bit. In 2019, HNP, her regional party, formed a coalition, came up with a slate of candidates which involved or which included also some candidates of the PDP Laban. And we remember, and in fact, I personally covered some of her sorties, some of Mayor Duterte Carpio's sorties, where she personally endorsed and campaigned for the administration ticket. So a lot, which includes people from PDP, and among them was, of course, Senator Bongo. But now it's a different picture. And you know, let us while she did not specify her reason, let us remember that in recent weeks she did say, she did tell her father and Senator Go to just come clean about their plans and to stop involving her or mentioning her in their plans. So I guess we, you know, that the way the events played out will just have to be open for everybody's interpretation.
So clearly she is distancing from PDP Laban. They're on their own as far as that statement is concerned. What now is going to happen to those who have been very supportive of the mayor even before she actually considered seeking the presidency? What's going to happen to those people who also have their own vested interests, knowing that if they support her, that the chances of their winning, of them winning rather, would be far greater if they don't compared to if they don't support her, RJ?
Of course, the logical thing for her supporters to do now, and I would assume, although I haven't asked her this categorically, is that I would assume that she would have informed them before she went on the media, before she even talked to me. So probably by the time that she informed them, they would have already started looking at their options. They would have to cast their lot with someone for the 2022 elections, and they would have to be looking, among other things, but probably chiefly, the pre-election surveys which Mayor Duterte Carpio had led. So you're going to, you know that Mayor Duterte Carpio is number one, so they're going to have to look at number two, number three, number four, number five. Pointedly, Senator Go was not, is not even in the double-digit territory in those surveys. So he is, you know, at the bottom, as a matter of fact. So you will have to decide, if you are one of the supporters of Mayor Duterte, who among the others will be in your priority list of alternative candidates. But it, you know, it, it bears mentioning though that if her supporters really wanted to be with any of the other candidates, they would have gone with them before, a long, long time ago, before she even made this decision. But now the question really is what happens to her supporters. They will have to decide based on who they think will be winnable, so that, you know, they can still be in office one way or another in the 2022 elections.
Mm. All right. Finally, RG, let me just go back to what the mayor said. She said she is not running for a national position, as they had agreed only one of them for a national position in 2022. RG, we know for a fact the penchant of this president to change his mind midway. So if he suddenly backs out, and this is not, you know, a scenario that we're just getting out of thin air, you know, this has happened in the past wherein he changed his decision, would that also translate to the mayor possibly changing her mind as well, RG?
That is actually a very good question, a very good follow-up question I will ask her after our conversation. But, you know, I do know some supporters who are still keeping their hopes up that things will change. I know, let me read to you one initial reaction that I got. This was forwarded to me. This is from Davao Occidental Governor Claude Bautista, who is a member, I think he's the president of Hugpong ng Pagbabago. And his text message was, layo pa kaayo ang eleksyon. Anything can happen. I always believe in God's will. What is important is that she has the desire to serve the people and everything will follow. We believe in her leadership and I will always believe in her and I will always be her avid fan no matter what, now and forever. So that's at least one supporter of Mayor Duterte Carpio who is still keeping his hopes up that, you know, within the next 3 to 4 weeks, the reason cited by Mayor Duterte Carpio for her decision will change.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. Our correspondent RG Cruz there joining us via Zoom. Thanks, RG. Take care. Keep safe.
Keep safe.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Moving on. The PDP Laban faction led by Energy Secretary Alfonso Cusi asserts the legality of their convention held Wednesday in Pampanga. The Cusi faction believes their convention should be the only one recognized by poll officials. It earlier asked the Commission on Elections to declare as illegitimate the group led by Senators Manny Pacquiao and Coco Pimentel. The faction that will fail to get the poll body's approval would have no right to issue certificates of nomination needed to run under a party. Aside from formally introducing the Go Duterte tandem, the party on Wednesday also revealed its initial senatorial slate.
It will be a very interesting lineup, a colorful one. Iba-iba personalidad po. Meron lang po yung mga ilang po na makasama pa dyan, meron lang po mga tinatapos na personal na mga kailangan ayusin at mga legal na kailangan ayusin. Pero meron na po. May mga ready naman po.
Well, not to be outdone, the PDP Laban's other faction, headed by Senator Manny Pacquiao, will hold its own national convention on September 19th. How the poll body resolve this political mess within the country's ruling party? Joining us now, former COMELEC Commissioner, Attorney Louis Tito Guia. Attorney Guia, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today. Appreciate you coming to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon, Carmina. My pleasure to be here.
All right. So before we get into the infighting, I want to ask you first, how problematic is the situation that the PDP Laban finds itself in as we speak?
Well, you know, there is going to be two sets of nominations. I expect that to happen. The certificate of candidacy filing would be on October, and I'm sure the matter will not be settled with finality as of yet by that time. So what will happen is that COMELEC will be receiving two sets of the probably nomination, not only for president or for national position, that might also happen in local contests where maybe PDP Laban might be, the two factions might be submitting two sets of candidates in the municipalities where they intend to field candidates. So that's going to be a big issue for the party and its supporters.
Yeah, but when you talk about the two factions, though, is it more problematic for the Cusi faction or the Pacquiao Pimentel faction?
But we wouldn't know, really. I mean, that depends on how they're going to present their case before the COMELEC. But at the end of the day, all that COMELEC will do will be to look at, first, the constitutional bylaws of the parties, and the series of activities undertaken by both factions, and on which and which of these activities might conform to the constitution and bylaws of the parties, and probably they would have to start as to who might be authorized to issue the certificates of nomination, and the COMELEC would have to examine the proceedings. Or maybe electing who the proper authorities on these from among the party leaders.
Well, here's the thing, though, Attorney Guia. You know that both factions have invoked the constitutionality of every single action that they've taken. But if we backtrack to the point when the presidency was handed down to Senator Manny Pacquiao by Senator Coco Pimentel, would that be the deciding factor?
Well, that depends on the procedure. I'm not so familiar with the rules and or the constitution and bylaws. So everything has to be examined on the basis of the constitution and bylaws of the party. And you would have to, of course, look at how, let's say, a political, maybe if they have a political bureau or an executive council, how did it decide, or whether that executive council can decide one way or the other without the general membership coming in. So these are the things that need to be looked at by COMELEC when it is presented to them. So I'm sure there will be two completely different versions before COMELEC when they get to decide this matter. So kaya nga may litigation. That is what is going to be litigated.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm sure both factions would be very, very adamant in asserting that theirs is the correct one.
Here's the thing, though. The Cusi faction made the first move, filing a petition before the Comelec to declare the Pacquiao Pimentel faction illegitimate. At this point, what can the Pimentel faction do? Can they also file a separate petition questioning the legitimacy or even really asking the same from the Comelec?
They can. They can do that and they can choose to answer the petition. But, you know, you want to show that you're also assertive. So probably they will have to file their own petition questioning maybe the convention that was held by the Cusi faction just recently. So they might probably do that. But they will also answer the petition that was first filed by the Cusi faction. And you will have maybe two or probably more than two cases involving the same subject matter. And Comelec might probably consolidate these cases and hear them simultaneously.
Which brings us to the timeline. I mean, you kind of touched on that a bit a while ago, Attorney Guia. Any possibility that this can be resolved before the filing of certificates of candidacy?
Well, when I was in Comelec, we usually put priority to cases like this because this involves all candidates from the president down to the last councilor, probably. And it's also important that, as you know, in the printing of ballots, you have to put the party affiliation of each candidate. So you wouldn't know which among the candidates would deserve having its name beside a party. No, mm-hmm. So that's important, and that has to be finalized real soon. Maybe at the latest December. Probably January, but that's going to be tight. But let us remember that Comelec will not just be having this case alone. There will be other cases, disqualification cases, denial of due course cases, marami pa, no? And I think it is still in the process of accrediting applications to be registered as party list. So ang daming mga urgent things that Comelec needs to decide. Of course, as I've said before, it would have been best for both factions to have settled their controversy earlier on to save Comelec time and make Comelec focus its attention on the more urgent things. Pero that's not going to happen probably.
Which brings me to the next concern. You know, some people might just think that this infighting, the ramifications that will result from it, is only going to be contained within the party. Do you share the observations of some that this is going to go beyond the party? You already said it's going to affect the Comelec, and it might, of course, later on, really affect the voting population.
Well, it will affect definitely Comelec, and Comelec should be focusing its attention on some of the more urgent issues that it has to address. Now, there are petition or there are requests for extension of registration. I know that it's going to be very difficult for Comelec to be extending the registration deadline because that will push back some of the activities along the line. So, but you know, meron pa to. Itong issue ng PDP laban, which is so kumbaga masyadong maingay. And Comelec cannot, you know, just prioritize other things. It has to look at this case also. So it would have saved Comelec a lot of time and problem had the faction settled this among themselves. So yan ang impact sa Comelec nitong kasong ito. And of course, everyone would want to be identified with the ruling party. So the infight, this is not just an infight. This will not just be infighting among the members, pero it will have some impact on the ground level. Sino ba dito ang magiging kandidato ni Presidente? That's going to be the discussion on the ground level. This is going to be beyond the party because, of course, those who might not be accommodated by the party may wish to choose other parties to be affiliated with.
Yeah, so it's going to go beyond the party. That's for certain. I mean, we can see already how that's going to lead to that. But will it also lead to the voter eventually? Will there be any effect on the voter and the informed decision that he might make come election day, Attorney Guia?
Well, I hope it would, you know, because this is just the fight of the elites. I mean, you know, sila-sila lang naman ito. I mean, I don't really care what is it for the voters kung PDP laban ka o hindi. But of course, the realities in politics is that, you know, you would want to be associated with a label that is identified as a winner, rightly or wrongly. So for voters who may not have been, who might not be as discerning, might find this very important. Sino ba talaga ang identified dito? Whether you're for the administration or not, because you would want to choose who not to vote for in as much as you would want to choose who to vote for. So in that sense, it can affect the choice of voter. Pero napaka-shallow kasi. Hindi pa yan yung malalim na gusto nating merong pag-iisip ang ating mga botante. So yeah, it will affect voters' decision when they vote.
Can this be, I mean, you and I, we've talked about, you know, a lot of things that are still left to be desired when it comes to electoral reforms, no? Pero itong issue na to, can it be an opportunity to sort of unmask these politicians who would like to call themselves public servants, but these politicians who would go where the winnability will be, yung funding, yung chances nila of winning, of staying in power? Can you see this as an opportunity for that to happen? Well, and people to see for themselves?
Yes, I hope so, because this has been going on since time immemorial. And then people, you know, but decision makers have not come to see the importance of really reforming our electoral system design. No, when we talk about electoral system design, yun yung paano ka pagpili, ano yung sistema ng pagpili. No, but that might even need constitutional change. But what could have been yung low-hanging fruit dito is to pass the Political Party Development Bill, which has been pending since 2002. And that would have sort of, you know, changed the rules of the game to make it more, to make politics more programmatic. I do not think that it will change the system entirely, but it will be at least at the first start. At least be a good start for parties to behave by, you know, passing a law, a legislation that would, you know, some sort of alter the behavior of politicians. Nandyan yan sa Political Party Development Bill that has been pending before. Every Congress nakakuha niyan, but Congress has never thought of seeing it through. Yun ang hindi ko maintindihan. We've been pushing for this since 2003.
Well, share us your thoughts. So why do you think, kung hindi nyo maintindihan, I'm sure may theory kayo kung bakit hindi na ipapasaya.
Well, simple. Siguro yung mga namumuno, comfortable with the way things are. And it's not good for the people. And then I think it's about time for people to make this as a political issue, as those who they will be voting for to, you know, commit to reforming our political system as well. No, by you know, looking at maybe changing the way political parties behave and changing the way political parties are funded to make you know, to make our politics more programmatic than focused more sa individuals. Mm-hmm. No, so these are the things that meron namang formula. This has been studied by a lot of academics and scholars from La Salle, Ateneo, and UP. It's been there. Ayaw lang talagang ipasa.
So let's go back to the infighting within the ruling party. Alam natin yan, nangyayari yan, no? This is not the first time that it's happened to a political party. But at this point in our nation's history, Attorney Guia, what should a voter, or how should the voter see this infighting? Meron din kasi man nagsasabi na away lang nila yan. Wala naman tayong matututunan dyan eh. But is there something that you think people, voters, should look at in this infighting, should concern them in this infighting? And if there are, what are these things?
Yeah, to me, I would like voters to think about how we can recover from this pandemic and ask our politicians what their program would be when they win in the election. I think that's the most urgent. And I think the infighting now becomes irrelevant. Kasi ganun yung issue eh. I mean, kung sino ba naman ang may faction sa inyo, kung pareho naman kayong palpak o isa lang, it doesn't really matter to the voters. The more important thing for voters right now is to see their way through out of this pandemic from June 30 going towards the next 3 or 6 years, no? Because if we are electing candidates in May 2029, they will have 3-year contract for us. May employment contract sila na 3 years atin if we hire them. Mm-hmm. Diba? Let's make sure that we hire the right people. And if you will ask what we need from them, to me, I think what people should be asking them is, ano ba plano yun? How can we recover? Mm-hmm. I think that's what, yun yung lengguahe na gusto nating hingin sa ating mga kandidato. Local man or national, especially nga local eh. Because I think that is, the problem of our country is more felt at the local level. So, siguro yon. I mean, yung infighting nila is really just, tingin ko parang ine-entertain lang ni mga tao, nagpo-provide ng boxing match that we will be entertained and probably become numb, magiging numb yung ating pangangailangan for clarity. On how we can recover after the June 30 and beyond next year.
And that statement of yours, Attorney Gia, further underscores what you said in the beginning of this conversation, that there are more important things to do. And yeah.
Definitely. Yes.
Focusing on this infighting.
But probably another question that you should be asking is that bakit pa ganun sila kakuan mag-away. Ano ba nandyan? Ano ba presyo niyan? What are they fighting for? It's difficult to rule the country in this pandemic. Eh bakit mo gustong pumunta sa mamuno?
Before we let you go, I also want to ask you about an item that we have as well, and that's the failure of bidding on some 600 million, 600 million peso worth of a lease project for an additional 10,000 VCMs or vote counting machines. With how much of a or how big of a concern is this at this point in the run-up to the 2022 elections, Commissioner?
Well, you want to be prepared as early as you can in election. And by this time, what should be happening is that you are just going to be implementing the process. No? A failure of bidding would again require COMELEC to go through the cycle, the bidding cycle. No, of course, I think COMELEC would not be preferring to have a negotiated bill because that will become problematic. But the way things are, you know, unlike any other big projects, you cannot postpone the election because of bidding problem. So this is really a big problem for COMELEC. But I'm sure, that they're doing something about this, hopefully. And they can overcome this, but it's going to make things more difficult.
I also want to get your reaction to the statement coming from the authorized representative of Smartmatic. As you know, they won the contract, but they had some reservations. I want to get your thoughts on this. Filipinas Ordoño said a pandemic-induced acute shortage in electronics components has driven costs up to 20 to 25%, while logistic cost has risen to as much as 200% in 2020. Ordoño assured the Special Bids and Awards Committee that the firm can deliver the VCMs in time should the appropriate budget be in place in order to cover all the increased costs of electronic components and logistics. Is this regular?
Well, I would, Tom, and you're talking about holding the elections well now. I mean, the problem with running an election is that, you know, the end game, the election day, May 9, cannot be moved. So you really have to operate within a fixed definite timeline. And all these practical considerations should really be studied. And what is important for COMELEC right now with all this problem is to be prepared to adopt risk mitigation measures. And just to ensure everyone that the election is going to push through. Pwede naman magka-election in any other way. Eh. But I'm not saying that this is already the remedy that COMELEC should be looking at, but it's always good to anticipate risk and to be prepared for whatever problems that may arise. And isa pa, the pandemic is really something that would make things more difficult and uncertain.
And are you confident, given the many concerns, the many issues that the COMELEC has to resolve before the elections come 2022, are you confident, knowing how you know the commission, that they would be able to resolve these issues, find remedies to these varying situations before the deadline comes?
Well, you know, COMELEC has been running elections for since time immemorial, and this is, I think, the fifth iteration of the automated election system. So, with that experience, I think they can adapt. There were challenges before, but of course, the challenge brought about by the pandemic is unprecedented. What COMELEC can perhaps do, at least to ensure the public that you know it is that it has a handle of the situation, would be to involve the public more, to be more open, to perhaps listen to accept what maybe the private sector can do, listen to them and give frequent updates of what's happening, and let the public understand the situation of COMELEC. Probably there will be solutions there, and there is always a solution to problems even as big as what the pandemic is bringing us right now.
Former COMELEC Commissioner Attorney Louis Tito Guia, who is also the co-founding trustee of Democratic Insights Group, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you having you on the show. Thanks again. You take care. Keep safe.
Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you. Right, moving on, and we just talked about this a while ago. The Commission on Elections declares a failure of bidding for the lease of 10,000 additional vote counting machines for the 2022 polls. Our correspondent Ina Reformina now on the line to tell us more about this. Ina, go ahead.
Bids and Awards Committee is currently conducting a mandatory review of the first cycle of bidding for the lease of 10,000 additional vote counting machines with SD cards for next year's national and local elections. A failure of bidding was declared in today's virtual opening of bids because not a single election solutions vendor submitted a bid offer. The additional machines will be used to lower the machine-to-voter ratio per polling place, since the number of voters casting their vote at any given time will have to be decreased in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. Only Smartmatic Total Information Management bought the bid documents, but it did not submit a bid proposal, citing a sharp increase in electronic components and logistics costs. Smartmatic said the budget is not sufficient to cover all costs. Total approved budget for the contract is 600.50 million pesos, or a per machine cost of 60,050 pesos. In a letter to COMELEC, Smartmatic authorized representative Filipinas Ordonez said a pandemic-induced acute shortage in electronics components has driven costs up to 20 to 25%, while logistics costs has risen to as high as 200% last year. Ordonez assured the bids committee Smartmatic can deliver the machines in time should COMELEC amend its budget. Under the Government Procurement Reform Act, that's RA 9184, the contract shall be re-advertised and rebid using the same process and rules in the first competitive bidding cycle. Should a second bidding fail, the COMELEC may resort to negotiated procurement. And here here is where Smartmatic's promise comes in when it said that it can still deliver the machines in time if COMELEC revises its budget. Smartmatic already bagged the 452.52 million peso contract for the software for the election management systems, vote counting machines and consolidation and canvassing system, as well as a contract for refurbishment of over 97,000 on-hand machines amounting to 637.44 million pesos. The company has been involved in Philippine elections since 2010, providing the hardware and software for the first ever nationwide automated polls. That is our latest election update. Ina Raformina, ABS-CBN News. Casey?
Thanks. Yes, thanks a lot, Ina. Take care and you keep safe. Let me just correct myself there. A while ago in our interview with Attorney Gia, I misspoke and said that Smartmatic won the bid. What I should have said was that they failed to present a bid offer, they were the lone entity that actually got the bid documents. Smartmatic has won other contracts, but for this one, they only got the bid documents. But as Ina Reformina there said, they also failed to give a bid bid documents because of the reasons that Ina there mentioned a while ago. All right, so let's move on. Unfair, that's how presidential candidate Panfilo Lacson is describing accusations. He is an enabler of the Duterte administration. See, critics have been saying Lacson only recently began speaking out against President Duterte on alleged corruption in government and the bloody war on drugs. Lacson refutes this.
Bakit ba nakulong at na-convict yung pumatay kay Kian de los Santos? I spearheaded the investigation in the Senate, which led to the gathering of the evidence against the policemen concerned. Nakakalimutan ng mga tao because nadadrown out ng mga propaganda dahil nga meron nag-inject o nag-create nag-invent ng word na enabler in attach sa akin. And I won't admit that because even earlier in the campaign of this administration against illegal drugs, I was calling them out. But you know, kung tama naman yung pag-implement do sa kanilang drug war, I was also supporting them, especially the police where I came from.
On Wednesday, Senator Panfilo Lacson formally launched his bid to run for president along with running mate Senate President Vicente Soto III. Senator Lacson also saying more details may soon be revealed in the Blue Ribbon Committee's probe on government's pandemic response spending. That's as he calls on his fellow senators to stand their ground despite attacks from President Duterte. The chief executive has constantly slammed the Senate, saying lawmakers are only using the hearings to gain traction for the upcoming elections. But Lacson is unfazed. He reveals a new witness may unmask the real people behind the questionable deals worth billions of pesos.
Not even the President of the Philippines can tell the Senate what to do. Mm-mm. We will do and exercise our mandate, and especially yung oversight. You'll be surprised, we're working on something that would further open up itong kaso ng Barmali. I hope pagka nag-testify yung sinasabi ko, mm-hmm. Sabi ko, mag-open up lahat. Maraming mabubuksan dito. So I just hope that the chairman of the Blue Ribbon Committee as well as my colleagues will still continue with this investigation.
Another possible presidential bet, Manila Mayor Isko Moreno slams Malacañang for its pandemic response. Moreno said instead of buying face shields, the government should instead purchase more medicine to treat COVID-19 patients. Presidential spokesperson Harry Roque accused Moreno of being critical of the administration because of his plan to run for higher office. Moreno hinted he might just do that.
Hindi po to politika, bingi lang ho kayo. Ako umaapila bilang alkalde naman, 2 million mamamayan sa lungsod. Kayo naghahanda sa eleksyon, makapagbintang kayo, wagas eh. Maraming beses na pinipigilan ko, damdamin ko eh. Dahil ayaw ko ng away. Anyway, kakaharapin ko naman kayo sa Oktubre eh.
Bakit? Excited ka, Pat?
Hindi. Pero bago dumating ang Oktubre, bumili muna kayo ng tocilizumab ngayon.
Former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV puts his faith in Vice President Lenny Robredo's winnability. On Twitter, Trillanes said he strongly believes Robredo will win if she decides to run for president next year. Trillanes has submitted his name for consideration as the Isambayan Coalition's possible presidential bet. However, he will give way to Robredo if she decides to run. Robredo has yet to reveal her 2022 political plans. Former Senator Bongbong Marcos also drumming up some election buzz. He plans to gun for a national post next year. The son of the late dictator, Ferdinand Marcos, believes he can finally win against Vice President Lenny Robredo in another face-off. Marcos lost the vice presidency to Robredo back in 2016.
If it's going to be a one-on-one fight, that would be good because I know I can win that.
Vice President Robredo has yet to make an announcement, as we said earlier, on her plans for 2022. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, at least 7 are dead following the onslaught of Typhoon Jolina. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. Back with more news. President Duterte again volunteers to step down from office, but only if the Senate can prove the government's pandemic funds were lost to corruption. Senators are currently investigating government's procurement of allegedly overpriced personal protective equipment.
Sasabihin ko sa inyo, kung totoo man yan, I will resign. I will resign. Kung si Duque kinurap niya or anybody in the executive department, particularly of course maski malayo ako sa mga transactions dyan, being the president of the executive department and of the country, talagang mananagot ako.
Duterte also apologized for any shortcomings in the government's pandemic response, but the medical community says he should just stop giving excuses.
Bumenta na yon. I think that kind of argument of having no playbook was acceptable, maybe in the first 6 months of this particular pandemic. But we have had 18 months of experience, and at this point, we should have written our own playbook already.
We're still not able to, for example, develop a certain level of standardized response, and that speaks of leadership. Mm-hmm. That speaks of the way all things are being coordinated.
The mayors of Metro Manila want the country's pandemic task force to give them clearer guidelines on the implementation of the proposed granular lockdowns. One of the prerequisites in locking down an area is if there's a high hospital utilization rate. But mayors point out some patients in hospitals under their jurisdiction are from other towns or cities altogether. The IATF deferred a Metro Manila shift to the granular lockdown and retained the modified enhanced community quarantine until September 15th. This last-minute backtrack led to public confusion and outrage.
Maraming pag-iingat dapat gagawin maging malinaw na mabuti para hindi maulit yung nangyari kahapon na parang urong-sulong tayo, laban-bawi ang nangyari. Yung credibility pati ng ating mga policy makers ay na lalagay sa alanganin.
The Philippines reported 12,751 new COVID cases Wednesday. This brings the total number of active cases to over 151,000. 174 deaths and more than 20,000 recoveries were also recorded. The health department says the recent dip in cases is due to technical issues. Some local governments in Metro Manila are now preparing for the vaccination of children aged 12 years and above. Marikina City has begun making a master list of eligible minors. This comes after the Philippine Food and Drug Administration approved the use of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine for that age group.
Sa Marikina, sa 78 o 80% na nga kami nang binabakunahan. Wala na kami mabakunahan na adult population. Talagang yung mga kabataan na, yung mga pediatric na ang kailangan bakunahan.
The municipality of Pateros has also opened up vaccine registrations for 12 to 17-year-olds. So far, 86% of Pateros' population is already fully vaccinated.
Marami rin kaming hinahandang mga dokumento dahil kailangan din pumirma ng consent ang magulang. Ano?
Ayun.
At sila isasamahan din at to a certain point sa loob ng vaccination center para matiyak namin na talagang pumapayag po yung magulang.
In other news, at least seven died due to Typhoon Jolina. At least five of them were fishermen who drowned due to strong waves. Disaster officials also say over 2,000 families sought shelter in evacuation centers. Here in Metro Manila, nearly 200 individuals who live in low-lying areas remain at an evacuation center in Bagong Silangan, Quezon City. Meanwhile, power firm Meralco says around 16,000 customers, majority in Cavite and Laguna, still have no power due to the storm. Half of Batangas province's power supply is restored in the aftermath of Typhoon Jolina. Our correspondent Andrew Bernardo brings us the latest. Andrew, go ahead.
Carmina, the weather is clear here in Batangas province, far from the situation when Typhoon Jolina hit the province on Wednesday. Batangas port also resumed its trip. According to the chief of Coast Guard Batangas City Substation, they allowed RoRo vessels to sail exactly 12 a.m. In a subdivision in Batangas that was flooded yesterday, the situation is also normal. According to Batangas LGU, or Batangas City LGU, flooding in the area occurs when the drainage canal overflows caused by heavy and continuous rain. Various local governments throughout the province continue to carry out clearing operations. Batelec is fully repairing damaged power lines to restore its supply. According to Lito Castro, head of the Provincial Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Office, 90% of households in the province have lost electricity supply during the overflow of Typhoon Jolina yesterday. But today, 50% of the households in the province restored its electricity supply. Castro added more than 200 families or 1,000 people who were evacuated from more than 50 barangays affected by the storm are also going home. PDRRMO recorded 30 partially damaged houses. PDRRMO continues to collect information to find out how much damage the storm caused. No one was recorded, injured, or killed due to Typhoon Jolina. Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Andrew, there joining us on the line. Keep safe, Andrew. Take care. Well, Tropical Storm Jolina is expected to exit the Philippine area of responsibility tonight, but several areas in northern Luzon are under signal number one due to another storm, that's Typhoon Kiko. And we now have on the line Pag-asa weather forecaster Raymond Ordinario. He's going to give us the latest on that. Raymond, go ahead.
Yes, Ms. Carmina, good afternoon. And this is our information regarding these two tropical cyclones that we are monitoring right now. So let's first discuss about Tropical Storm Jolina. And as of 10 a.m. today, it was estimated around 240 kilometers west of Dagupa City in Pangasinan, having a maximum sustained winds of 85 kilometers per near the center and gustiness of up to 115 kilometers per hour. It is moving on a westward direction at 10 kilometers per hour. We are expecting that this tropical storm Jolina will exit our Philippine area of responsibility tonight on, and by tomorrow morning it was estimated around 625 kilometers west of Dagupan City in Pangasinan. And now this is our update for Typhoon Kiko. As of 10 a.m. today, it was estimated around 670 kilometers east of Baler, Aurora, having a maximum sustained winds of 195 kilometers per hour near the center and gustiness that may reach up to 240 kilometers per hour. It is also moving in a westward direction at the speed of 20 kilometers per hour. By tomorrow morning, it is expected around 285 kilometers east of Tugagaraw City, Cagayan. And now we have a tropical storm warning signal number one raised over Cagayan, including the Babuyan Islands, the northeastern portion of Apayao, and the northern northeastern portion of Isabela. We are expecting this Typhoon Kiko to really move towards the northern Cagayan area. So we are now advising our folks living on the northeastern, the northern portion of Cagayan, including the Batanes and the Babuyan Islands, to be prepared for the upcoming effects of this Typhoon Kiko. And it's expected to make landfall over the Babuyan, or the, in the vicinity of Babuyan Islands between tomorrow afternoon and Saturday morning. Then we're going to expect also a slight weakening for this Typhoon Kiko as it approaches the landmass of Cagayan area. And that's the latest from the Weather Forecasting Center of Pagasa, Raymond Ordinario reporting.
Thanks a lot, Raymond, to you and the rest of the team. Thanks for all that you do. Keep safe. Moving on, the Philippines has started taking in refugees from conflict-hit Afghanistan. Manila's top diplomat, Teodoro Loxin Jr., said some Afghans, including women and children, arrived in the country Wednesday night. Loxin previously said the Philippines will not accept refugees from Afghanistan unless it goes through a government-to-government arrangement. And in sports, Filipino tennis sensation Alex Ayala advances to the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open Juniors Tournament. She defeated Greek opponent Michaela Laki. Ayala was a game away from an early exit in set two, but she bounced back to reach the next round. Ayala and Filipino-Canadian Neda Fernandez have been a source of Filipino pride at the tournament. The 19-year-old Fernandez, who is competing in the seniors division, is set to play in her first Grand Slam semifinal. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines Podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANZ's YouTube channel and on ANZ 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it tuned.